If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 769. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about cliffs and crags, pubs and parks, winding roads and traditional music as we go to Western Ireland. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Ireland. I'd like to welcome the show Adam Ryan from asadamgoes.com. Adam has come to talk to us about Ireland and more specifically the Wild Atlantic Way. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I'm really happy to be here.
And as people may be able to tell here from your accent, you know a little bit about Ireland.
I do indeed. It's my home country. I'm from Ireland. I've lived here my whole life. I decided to move to the States and that got cut short because of COVID. And I came back really. And when I came home, it kind of opened my mind. Well, it didn't open my mind. It kind of forced me to enjoy my own country because with travel restrictions and you couldn't really leave and you would go anywhere else. So it gave me some time to really discover what Ireland has to offer because I was a little man from Dublin and I've never really left before that. I'd never really went to a few places around Ireland, but not much. So when I came home, I had the travel bug and I wanted to really explore Ireland. And ever since, when on my weekends, I'm still exploring. Next weekend, I'm going to Kerry. I love Ireland now. It's made me appreciate my country a lot more.
Excellent. And why should someone come to Ireland?
Ireland is not a hidden gem, but it's expensive. A lot of people, they'll brush it to one side, especially if you're from a country that the economy isn't great and you think Ireland's expensive, I can't go there. When you really can, you can definitely travel Ireland on a budget. And Ireland just has so much to offer. We've great people, green fields, beautiful landscapes. We've some great cities and our rural areas are just some of the best in Europe. I've traveled through Europe and I've been to the States, Canada, and I just have never been to a place like Ireland. And you'd know yourself, Chris, you've been here, as you said before. It's a diamond among the rough.
No, I'm a big fan of Ireland. I've been there twice and loved both times, especially the first trip that I did. One of the highlights of that trip that was an unexpected bonus was I went with my daughter and her boyfriend and came back with my daughter and her fiance. So they were engaged in your hometown there in Dublin. So excellent. So it's also a romantic place to go, apparently. So
it actually is, believe it or not.
I think it is.
Yeah, no, it is. Dublin is especially. In Dublin, actually, there's the Haypenny Bridge. I don't know if you're aware of it. And it's kind of a place a lot of couples go to when they're in Dublin and they kind of you get a lock in the shop and they lock it to the bridge and they write a little note on it and stuff. So it does have a romantic side to it, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk about the Wild Atlantic Way, which if I drove, I think the whole thing, I'm driving the whole coast of Western Ireland, which is like 1,500 miles. You're probably going to help us select. Maybe we're not going to drive the whole thing. Maybe we're going to drive the parts that will make sense to us. Where are we going to start?
You have two kind of starting points. It depends where you're going to start, but my opinion will be definitely to start in Cork, especially if you're flying into Dublin Airport. Cork is closer. Donegal is up the northwest. You can start there either, but you're going to have a longer journey going there. Regardless, you're going to have to come back from one and start at the other. But I just think if you're starting off and you want to get on the road straight away, go to Cork. Cork is the easiest starting point. And my starting town, so to speak, would definitely be the little village of Cove. Cove is a lovely little coastal village slash, people say it's a town, it's very small. Like, I live in a town and it's not even that big. Yeah, Cove is a lovely seaside town village. Yeah, so Cove is famous for its little kind of coloured houses. You've Cove and Kinsale. These are the two towns that are famous for these houses. My opinion will be to start in Cove because it's closer to Dublin. Cove has a lot of things to do in it. You've the Titanic experience, and the Titanic experience is there because the Titanic actually set off from there on one of its voyages. So that's why it's really popular from there. I don't know if it's in the movie as well. You can see that they were in Cork.
And we say one of its voyages. It only had the one. So,
yes. Well, yeah.
So they made it up in Belfast. They brought it down here and loaded people on in Cork. And, well, yeah. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, well, let's not get into that. They have Spike Island. Spike Island is an old monastery just off Cove. Hmm. It's very close. You can get a boat out to it. I think it's €10 to get out to it, maybe.
Okay.
The last time I was there, yeah, €10 to get out there. And my sister was actually there a couple of weeks ago, and she went out to it. You can see an old monastery. It's really eye-opening, especially if you want to get off the actual island of Ireland and go somewhere else. And it's good. I wouldn't say it's a day trip now, but you can go out for like half a day.
Now, is the monastery still there? I'm seeing that there's a fort on the island now.
Yeah, it's remains of the monastery. It's more, now it's the fort. A lot of the Navy and stuff are based down there. You can see a lot of the ships and stuff if you're down there having a walk. Mm-hmm. Have you been there yourself, Chris?
No, I haven't been to Cove. I wouldn't even know how to spell it, apparently, since when you see something that's spelled C-O-B-H, you don't think that it would be pronounced Cove.
Yeah, I know. You think C-O-V-E. You've Cove, which is a great little town, and then Kinsale is the hotspot in Cork. This is the place everyone wants to go to. It's a lot more expensive to stay in Kinsale, but it's really spectacular. They have, again, these colourful houses, but they're more bungalows, and it's like this little town, and it's really, Cork in general is famous for its food. The food in Cork is just, it's the food hub of Ireland, basically. A lot of people go down there for this good seafood.
Well, and when you say it's famous for its food, so when I think of Ireland, I think of two different things. One is I think of traditional Irish food, okay. And then I found when we were there that I would go into some little tiny pub in the middle of nowhere and they would have that, but then they would also have much more diverse food than I expected. What's Cork known for? Food experimentation or traditional food? Or both?
I would say seafood.
Seafood, okay.
Seafood is the main kind of focus. If you're a seafood lover, if you love your oysters, your clams, sea bass, fish, squid, you can get some really good squid down there, calamari. What would your idea be of traditional Irish food?
Oh, well, I think a pub grub.
Pub grub?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of dishes did you have when you were here that you thought were traditionally Irish?
Well, I see. I tended to order the non-traditional. I tended to find the curry that was on the menu or something else that was...
Okay. The great food. You have a shepherd's pie. I don't know if you... Did you ever hear of a shepherd's pie?
Oh, yeah.
You have a good stews. You have a stew?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you've had tato.
I don't know.
Tato, yeah. So tatos are like... It's our national crisp, or you guys would call them chips.
Okay. No, we would call them French fries, but
So yeah, but we have like crisp sandwiches. We'll just put a lot of crisps on a slice of bread, loads of butter. That's a tactical snack during the day.
Okay. So crisps. So we're talking, we would call potato chips.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so okay. Ours are crisps. I was doing the wrong mapping here. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Doritos, all that kind of thing. But ours are, you can get them in all different flavors. Potato is our national brand. We're famous for them and they're lovely. If anyone's coming to Ireland, I'd recommend you have to try out the Tao.
Got it. Well, and I interrupted you. You were talking about Kinsale.
Yeah, Kinsale. I would say 2 days in Kinsale. Well, I would say 1 day in Cork and then go on to Kinsale. Kinsale will be 2 days, okay? I would say spend 1 day just exploring the town itself. You can do food tours. You can go into some good little bars and just sit in the town for the day. That's what I done when I was there. And then the next day, you can go off there. There's Charles Fort, another fort. There's lots of forts in Cork.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Fort is another famous one. It's, what is it, 4 year old in? 4 year old in. It's just the remains of an old fort. And it's very popular. And then you have the old head of Kinsale Loop Walk. Now, this is a coastal kind of walk. And the views from here are breathtaking. I mean, you're going out on this, I wouldn't say little land form, but it's kind of long, but the views from here of the Atlantic Ocean are just next level.
Okay.
2 days in Kinsale is really enough. I think Cork 3 days max, because the best place in Ireland is definitely my favorite county by a country mile is Kerry, which you can move on to after. And look, Kerry, I could honestly say, and anyone from Ireland says, you could spend a week in Kerry. It's just so big. It's so vast. It has something for everyone. And it's not that far from Cork. It's like, so from Kinsale, it's probably around an hour and a half drive. When you get to Kerry, you're going to have the main hub, Killarney. Mm-hmm. Killarney is just, I'm going there in a few weeks and I love Killarney. Killarney is my favorite city in Ireland by far. This place has something for everyone. If you love the outdoors, you're going to be in love with the place. You have so many mountains to climb. We have Ireland's highest mountain is in Killarney. It's called Carntuachtal. I was down there about 3 months ago. I wrote about it on my blog, actually, and I climbed the mountain. And oh my God, when you're climbing this thing and you're up on top, this is like something. You actually think you're in Switzerland. The views, you can actually see Cork. You can see bits of Galway. It's incredible.
I was thinking, when you were talking about Killarney, I was just looking up the Killarney National Park. I was thinking, and it was the oldest national park in Ireland, and I was remembering that correctly.
Yeah, it is the oldest national park in Ireland. In Ireland, we have 5 national parks.
Okay.
Killarney National Park is the oldest one. It is massive. I mean, when I was there, I spent one whole day in Killarney National Park. You have Muckross House there. It's an old medieval house. Mm-hmm. I think it's medieval. I don't think
it goes back that far. I want to say it is Georgian, but I'd have to look it up. 1843, so not quite Georgian, Victorian. But
Killarney National Park is beautiful. You can literally spend, we walked around for, I'd say, a good 4 hours. You can walk around. You can go sit by the lakes. The lakes have lots of little benches there and stuff, and you can just view the mountains. I'm a big lover of the mountains. I do a lot of hiking myself. And you can get horse rides around the national park. They cost about €20. It's a touristy thing to do, but you get to see the whole national park if you take a horse ride. You can actually drive around the national park as well. There's a lot of roadways and stuff, and you can't see everything with it. That's Killarney National Park. Then you have the Gap of Dunloe. Oh my God, the Gap of Dunloe is amazing. It's an old pass that never used to have a road, and they actually built the road, and now it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Hmm.
It's kind of, how will I even describe it? Have you been to the Gap of Dunloe?
I have not been to the Gap of Dunloe.
Oh, Chris, were you in Killarney?
Briefly, yep.
Yeah, oh, Chris.
Long enough to go to a conference and do the Ring of Kerry.
Yeah, but the Gap of Dunloe is just, it's a road that they built through this pass, but it's supposed to be a one-way road, okay?
The word supposed to be inspires some fear in me. Because yeah. I have driven on little tiny one-lane roads in Ireland with traffic going in both directions.
It's supposed to be a one-way road. Now, they do have little lay-bys because I think they kind of start to realize that people weren't treating it as a one-way road. But it's this one-way road through constant mountains and lakes. And it's just incredible. But the worst thing is that trying to stop, you want to stop everywhere. You're stopping and starting. You want to and get out and take pictures and stuff. And you can't because it's a one-way road. So there's actually a cottage on the, at the start of it. So if any of your listeners want to go, it's called Kate Kearney's Cottage. And it's a great place to park your car and just walk up it. Now, if you walk through the Gap of Dunlow, it's probably going to take you 2 hours, 2.5 hours. We were driving through, there was a lot of ladies out doing their walks and stuff. My God, even if you just walk through it for an hour, this place is incredible. Look it up on, even if you geotag Instagram, look up the Gap of Dunlow. This place is just, it's like you're in a different world.
It looks very beautiful.
It's lovely, it is. You have the Gap of Dunlow. My all-time favorite was Carn Tuathail. If any of your listeners are into hiking, Carn Tuathail is the highest mountain in Ireland. Even if you're not into hiking, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. You're walking through these pathways up to it, and you feel like, oh, there's just all these fields. And then you come to these little lakes, and then they get bigger. And then these mountains are just, they're so ridgy. These really skinny, ridgy kind of mountains at the top. And they just blew me away. And when I was looking up at it, the height of it, I'm like, Jesus, this is a lot bigger than I've ever climbed. But I made it to the top. I got it to the top. It takes about 2.5 hours to climb. Now, I would not recommend climbing if you've no experience. It is a bit dangerous, but you can hire a guide. If you go on to one of the tour booking websites, Viator, Get Your Guide, any of them, you can really find a guide on there that will take you out for the day and you can go at your own pace. And they bring you up the safer routes. There's a good few routes to the peak. But these guys are trained professionals. And if you've no experience, it's not advised to go rogue.
Got it.
Also in Killarney, you have the pub scene. Now, I think what Killarney kind of reminds me of, have you ever heard of Ibiza?
Sure.
Yeah, it reminds me of a pub Ibiza, so to speak. So Ibiza is just like constant strips of nightclubs where it carries strips of trad bars. Like you go in, everyone, they're playing traditional Irish music.
And you say trad bar, so trad for traditional, okay.
Yeah, trad for traditional. You can go in and literally, these locals, they're so used to tourists because Killarney is a...
one of the first tourist places in Ireland. This is really one of the places where tourism took off.
Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what it is, man. There's something about Killarney. Even when I was there during lockdown, and I just was saying to myself, this place is incredible. It's my favorite city in Ireland. I don't even know how to put it into words, especially when the place is lively. I'm going back down now on the 28th of August and I'm so excited. Everything's going to be open back up. My cousin's actually doing an Ironman challenge triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's going to do it through them mountains. But another thing about Killarney, I will advise anyone, if they're taking a road trip, be careful on the roads.
Yes.
One, the roads are shocking. And two, the drivers, they're used to them roads, and these fellas are rootless. They don't care. They don't see you as someone that's not from there.
I've driven on a few different continents at this point. I didn't find the drivers in Ireland to be bad. And when you're on the motorway, like going from Dublin down to Killarney or Cork or something like that, the roads are great.
Yeah.
But then you get off the roadway and you're on a little narrow road and you're driving across a stone bridge that was not meant for cars. And that stone wall is really close to your rear view mirror and things like that. And you should know that car insurance is more expensive in Ireland. Yeah. And I think there's a reason for it. It's more likely that you're going to scrape off your mirror than it is, I think, that you're going to get in a bad accident as long as you're paying attention and not just watching the scenery. But I didn't mind driving in Ireland. but it is challenging as you get out to the west and you get out to some of those little tiny roads. And then, of course, if you're on the Ring of Kerry, then you add the buses to it, and that adds a little more, just a little more stress.
That's the worst thing. The Ring of Kerry, like, it's beautiful, don't get me wrong. It's just, it's not the tourists, it's the buses. You're going down these small roads, and you're like, how am I going to get past a bus on this road? And they're like double-decker buses.
Yeah, it's a little more challenging. And I'll have to say, I've driven the Ring of Kerry, loved it. I probably am more a fan of the Dingle Peninsula. So you basically, from where we were here, we're in Killarney, we can go out to the west to go to the Ring of Kerry, or we can go up a little to the north and then out to the west to go to the Dingle Peninsula. And I found it just a little less touristed, and some amazing sites, old Iron Age forts that are literally falling off a cliff. If you don't see them now, you won't get a chance in I don't know how many years. They'll go away. Then you'll see the cottages left from the potato famine, the famine cottages, and you'll see the stone storage containers. I want to say them stone buildings that are beehive shaped.
The beehive huts.
Yeah, beehive huts. You'll see the church that's built entirely out of stone. And that and Dingle itself is just this gorgeous little seaside town out way far away from the motorway. So I just really have fond memories of the day we spent in the Dingle Peninsula.
You kind of have to make your choice. It all depends what time frame you're on. I love the Ring of Kerry. Dingle is lovely too. You make your itinerary. My advice is, first of all, take in how much time you have. And then, only thing is, just the tourists. A lot of people don't go as far as Dingle because it's just a little, that little bit further.
Right.
Especially if you're driving from Dublin to Killarney, which is 3 hours, right? And then you have that extra little hour. It's 4 hours driving, and people, a lot of people don't want to do that. So that's why they kind of stick to the Ring of Kerry. I thought Dingle was just out of this world. You've the boat tours that you can get out to see fungi. You're out on the choppy waves, and you're going through these like kind of caves on the water. And if you don't like boats, I'd advise you to avoid it, because the way, especially because you're out in the Atlantic Ocean and the weather can change quite drastically. But you can see the dolphins if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying every time. That's their kind of marketing thing now. But you don't always get to see dolphins. It's like anywhere you go. If you're going to Spain or anything and they say, you can see dolphins. But that's what they pride themselves on. And you're not going to see dolphins anywhere else in Ireland. So that's one of the great things about Dingle.
Well, and when you're out on the very, very western edge, you're basically, they say, the next parish of Ireland to the west of Dingle is Boston. So you're really out there with these windswept, stony peninsulas with the sea in front of you, and it just feels like you're on the edge of the world.
Yeah.
It's just a very beautiful area.
It's the furthest point.
Yep.
That's what I feel when I'm in Kerry. Like, I always just say, it feels like you're in a different country. You're miles away from anything. You're sheltered from the capital. Now, don't get me wrong, there are big cities there and stuff, but you're sheltered from Dublin, and Dublin and Kerry are just different on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
One question I actually have for you, Chris. When you were in Dingle, did you go to Dunquane Pier?
I don't recall. I don't think so.
It's a kind of a departure point for the ferries now, but it's a gorgeous little Gaeltacht village. It's along the Dingle Peninsula now, and it's a quirky little road. And it's just, again, it's like the Gap of Dunloe. I don't know if you want to look it up there. It's Dunquane. It's Dunchoin Pier, and it's like you're going down this hill, and it's this one-way road, but sometimes you can see like sheep going up it, and there's people trying to get their cars down, and it's mind-boggling. This is a hot spot among people when they go to Dingle. People love getting up on top of the little hill and taking pictures of their feet down on this photogenic little road, and there's just like little pieces of land popping up out in the water, and it's just incredible. Next from Dingle, we're going to move on to County Clare.
Now, you're skipping Limerick.
Yes, I'm skipping Limerick because personally, I don't think there's that much to do in Limerick. Okay. People stop there. I've driven through it a couple of times. There was never really a reason for me to stop there. There's not that much to do there. Now, I know people stop there for a day, but especially if you're on a time frame, my advice would be head straight on to Clare.
So you're probably going to take the ferry across then instead of going all the way into Limerick.
Yeah, you can drive it,
mm-hmm.
but you can get the ferry as well. It all depends on what suits you, really.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hitting Clare, my advice, you want to be going to Doolin. Doolin is a great little village. It's close enough to the famous Cliffs of Moher. I'm sure you've been there, Chris, when you were
in Ireland. Very beautiful place.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And the Cliffs of Moher are great. My advice would be go in the evening time rather than the daytime if you can. If the weather's good, you go there for the sunset. And oh my God, this place is unbelievable. Also, near enough, you have the Burren. The Burren is just kilometers of karst landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I wasn't too crazed on the Burren. A lot of people I know love it.
Oh, see, I'm a huge fan. We were there. So this is an area of land that is, when you get in the middle of it, it's stone.
Literally.
And when Ireland was invaded by Cromwell's men, one of Cromwell's men basically went to this area and said there wasn't land enough to bury a man, tree enough to hang him, or water enough to drown him. Now, I'm not sure why that was how he was evaluating lands, but I mean, it's a very sparse landscape with some burial cairns in the middle of it that go back for thousands of years. But we were there just as a thunderstorm had just rolled through, and so it was this dark, I want to say dark light, which sounds really strange, but it wasn't that it was all that dark, but the light was very almost ethereal, and this is this very strange landscape, and I thought it was just one of the most beautiful places I've been. But, you know, it's partially, it depends on what kind of day you're there. If you're there in the middle of a rainy day, for instance, it's not going to have quite the same attraction, but very different look than most of the very green Irish hills.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great way to describe it. Look, it's popular. I'm not going to knock it. I just didn't see what the fuss was. But I include it because it is one of the places that everyone wants to get to when they're in County Clare. If mm-hmm. you're on a time frame, I would say, well, me, if I went back again, I would skip it and go to the Alloway Caves. The Alloway Caves is about half an hour, 40 minutes from the Cliffs of Moher, I'd say, roughly. Depends what way you're driving and depends who's driving in front of you. But yeah, the Alloway Caves, you can get like this boat through these underground caves, and like that, it's the limestone formations underground. You have your stalagmites, stalactites.
Mm-hmm.
I just was blown away by this because I would never see anything like this in Dublin. Caves like this, they're hard to come by, especially in Ireland. There's a few smaller caves that are up the north and stuff, mm-hmm. but these are incredible. And they have like this bird show that you can go see at the Alloway Caves as well. And they have pigeons, owls, and the owls, they just send the owls off and they go off and you wait there for like 10 minutes. The next minute, he just lands on this fella's arm and you're like, where the hell did he go? Like, another popular thing to do in Clare as well, rent a bike in Doolin and just go for a cycle around the coastal towns. You can bring the bikes on the ferries if you want to go out to the Aran Islands.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion, if you want to hit the Aran Islands, I would go from Galway. But a lot of people go from Clare. That's one trip you should definitely save for your books if you ever come back to Ireland. Clare is a 1 to 2 day job. There's not a serious amount to do on it, but it is a place that you need to see, especially if you're going to see the Cliffs of Moher, you know. And everyone wants to see the cliffs. After Clare, you're going to head on to Galway. It's up there with one of my favourite places, but Killarney wins. But Galway is incredible. The only thing I would say about Galway, especially if you're coming from a different country, if you're coming in the summer, it is going to be busy, like mm-hmm. really, really busy, because you've the college students finishing up, and it's a college town, don't get me wrong, but it's very popular among tourists, and it is busy. Like, I was there last month, and even during COVID, no pubs were open. You could only, well, they were open, but you couldn't eat inside. You could only eat and drink outside.
Mm-hmm.
and streets. You could barely move. And this is during the pandemic. Like, it has a similar vibe to Killarney. You have the bustling pub scene, the lovely beaches, and it's a great hub if you want to hit the Aran Islands. The Aran Islands are about a 30-minute ferry from Galway. They're three islands. They're very popular. And this is the Gaeltacht region. Have you heard much about the Gaeltacht region, Chris?
Sure. Well, in fact, Dingle is also in the Gaeltacht region.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about an area that promotes and remembers the speaking of the native Gaelic language. There are Gaelic language schools there, and a lot of kids are sent from across Ireland to learn their Irish out in the western part of the Ireland, including the Aran Islands and Dingle.
They are. When I was in school, we had to learn Irish. I was rubbish at it. It's a hard language. But when you're in your secondary school, which is like you guys would call high school, normally it's recommended, if you want to do well in Irish, they recommend you need to go over and spend some summers over in the Gaeltacht region to really become more fluent and learn it the real way. Because teachers in school can only teach them so much. But when you're speaking with these people, even when you're in Galway, you'd often get chatting to someone and they start speaking Irish to you. And I'm like, my Irish is brutal. But you try to keep up the conversation. But these lads have their own way of doing it. They speak it in a completely different way that you're kind of taught. But the Aran Islands is the homeland of the Gaeltacht region, I'd like to call it. You've, again, like you were speaking about in Dingle, they've the Beehive Huts, all these old ruins out on the islands. And it's very famous for it's called the Wormhole, and it's on Inishmore. Inishmore is one of the islands. And it's kind of this naturally made plunge pool.
Okay.
You've been to the Burren, Chris. And you know the way it's like a karst landscape.
Right.
Say you cut a rectangle in there and below is water, okay? So it's a massive plunge pool and people come and they just dive into the sea, but it's like a rectangle, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I can picture that when you're up in the Burren, for instance, there are places where the rock naturally looks like it was almost poured concrete because there are these rectangular squares of rock.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of these squares of rock is gone, and therefore you get the water underneath. Okay.
It's basically like a massive pool, and people jump here. And the Red Bull diving experience happened here in 2000, and I'm not going to give you a year because I don't know the exact one. But
2017.
Yeah, I was going to say 2011, so you're correct. you're researching there. But the Aran Islands, you have Inishmore, Inishmean, and Inishore. These are popular. You can get day tours here. And you can also get the ferry from Galway. My advice would be, if you really want to get a feel for the islands, get a tour. Okay. The tours, they're not that expensive. If you get the ferry on your own, obviously you can, I think it's like €20 return. If you get a tour, you're going to get the real experience. These guys, they're well educated, and they're doing these tours every day, so they know what they're talking about, and they'll give you the real Irish experience. And these are the last lands before you actually reach America as well. So, like that, you said Dingle, Boston's over the other side, and then you have these islands that are kind of in a similar position where they're out, away from everything. In Galway as well, you can go to Connemara National Park, which is another national park. I would say if you love the outdoors, hit Connemara National Park. It's great for walks, lots of hikes. It's very rural. And a lot of people actually do a lot of wild camping here. Well, camping is actually really popular on the west of Ireland. It's not frowned upon to pop a tent and do it the old-fashioned way.
Got it.
I do a bit myself now, but you can camp in Connemara National Park if that's something you'd be into. And you have Kylemore Abbey, which is, again, it's an old kind of...
It's actually built in an old style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nun group. I'm just going to get the name of them.
The Benedictine Monastery, you're trying to say?
Yeah. That's it. That's the one. They're still there. And they've came in from I think it was Belgium many years ago. They're still there ever since. When you're there, you can go around, you can speak to them, and you can spend the day here. You can book a tour, you can get the tickets online. It's a bit far out from Galway now, don't get me wrong. If you have time, go see it. It's a popular spot. That's really Galway for you. After Galway, we're going to head on to County Mayo. Mayo gives mixed opinions for people. If you're not on any time limit, go to Mayo, but I would skip it. Might be an unpopular opinion. If you've only a certain amount of days, skip it. Look, I've been to Mayo. I went to Westport. Westport is the popular little town in Mayo, and it's a great hub if you want to climb Kilpatrick. It's a famous mountain. It's not the highest mountain in Ireland by any means, but it's famous because people go on their pilgrimage here. Catholics, Irish Catholics, especially many years ago, not as much now. When I was climbing, I kind of seen a few people doing it. But the pilgrimage consists of you start in Westport, you bring your old kind of stick, which you can get them at the start of the hike. And as you walk up, there's kind of like little tasks written in stone along the way. And like you can go, like one of them is walk around the stone backwards 10 times and say 5 Hail Marys. Okay.
Okay.
As you go up, there's all these little tasks written and stuff. And a lot of people actually climb it in their bare feet. My granddad used to do it. It's basically a way of getting your sins forgiven, so to speak. Now, Ireland is a predominantly Catholic country. Mm-hmm. I would say not as much anymore. The older people still go every few years and climb Kilpatrick in their bare feet. But when you get to the top of it, there's an old church at the top. If you look it up, you'll be able to see it. It's beautiful up there. You can see great views of the whole of County Mayo on a good day. Now, if you get up there on a bad day, it's not so nice.
Well, and you're saying Kilpatrick, that is, translates to Patrick's Stack, as in St. Patrick, which is why this is a place for pilgrimage. It gets associated later on. Not necessarily that I can see that Patrick spent any time there, but it became associated with him as why it's a pilgrimage place.
Yeah, St. Patrick has a few little kind of spots around Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I live about 40 minutes from a place that's called the Hill of Tara, and there's a statue of Patrick there as well. I'm not really religious myself, so I wouldn't be too knowledged on it. Westport is skippable.
Okay.
You can do a lot of water sports out in Westport. It's a great little town, don't get me wrong. I just don't think there's that much to do in Mayo. Another famous thing to do there is you can go to Downpatrick Head, which is a heritage site. You go to the edge of the cliffs and you've a random tall piece of land sitting in the water. I've actually never been there. I've just seen a lot of pictures of it and a lot of people go. It's kind of an Instagram picture spot that people kind of, they love to go see. Discover Ireland. Ireland are boosting it a good bit lately, especially because of the pandemic and stuff.
Oh, it's a sea stack. Yeah. I wasn't catching on what we were talking about. So a spire of rock of many layers that sits out in the water. Okay.
But after Mayo, you are going to end in Donegal.
Okay.
Donegal is up northwest, basically the very left corner of Ireland. If you're driving from Cork to Donegal, it's a long old drive, don't get me wrong. I've been to Donegal a couple of times, but Donegal is famous for mainly its surfing. One of the main kind of surfing towns is called Bundoran. When I was in school, a lot of people used to go there. Now, I've been there once, but Bundoran, it's kind of an adventure town, if you know what I mean, Chris.
So an adventure sports kind of area, you're saying?
Yeah, adventure sports. You can do your surfing. There's a lot of like rock climbing.
Okay.
And zip lining and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They have lots of quad biking and basically adventure sports. If you like a bit of trail, that's your place. A lot of people say it's the place you want to go if you love surfing.
Okay. And I'm imagining that if I'm surfing there, same as if I'm surfing in my corner of the world, I'm wearing a wetsuit.
Yeah, definitely a wetsuit. So you can actually go to these adventure camps and stay there for a couple of days.
Okay.
And like you pay a certain fee, they could put you in your accommodation. Now it's kind of like hostel accommodation, if you know what I mean. They put you through like a 3-day kind of adventure course. They're really popular in Ireland. You can do them all over the place, but Bundoran is especially famous for it because they get the best waves in Ireland. And it's simply because of the location.
Right.
It's more popular among the younger generation than anything.
Okay.
I know family members and stuff have went up there and they loved it, and they were of an older age as well. So it has something for everyone. But the real hotspot in Donegal is definitely the Slieve League cliffs. These cliffs are dramatic, is the only way to kind of put them. They're like ridges, but they only have one side that you can fall off, if that makes sense. They're like, you can walk along these small little ridges, but be safe and get that kind of experience. That's what these cliffs are like. And they're about an hour and a half from Donegal Airport. I was there once. Again, I've been to Donegal once. That's when I went on kind of a road trip. Now I'm planning to go back. But this is a place I really want to go back to. The sunrise here, if you see pictures of these cliffs, the sunrises here are incredible. I actually follow a few people on like Instagram and stuff, and they're waking up at like 4 a.m. and they're going to catch the sunrises here, and it's like, whoa, this is incredible. You don't get this in Dublin.
Yeah, the one thing we didn't say about this part of the world, it's sort of true when I was talking about the Dingle Peninsula, but it's true of the pictures I'm seeing of Donegal also, is it's very much a windswept landscape. It's kind of like the old joke about if you get lost in the Icelandic forest, what do? Stand up. There are not a lot of trees.
Yeah.
It's wide open rock and fields and such. So you've got these spectacular views of miles and miles from on top of these cliffs that you're talking about here, because there's nothing to break the view. There's no trees to speak of.
Yeah, it's just so open, and I think that's why a lot of people come for the surfing as well, because the waves. The waves are just giant, and that the wind is really strong, and you know, that's because you're beside the Atlantic Ocean as well.
Right.
The weather over this side of the country isn't the best. Like, we over in Dublin, we get a lot better weather than these guys, and the weather can change quite drastically. Like, I remember when I was in Galway there a couple of weeks ago, one minute we were on the beach and it was 25 degrees. Next minute it starts raining and thunderstorm.
Right.
Yeah, the weather just really changes.
Ireland is definitely one of those, there is no bad weather, there's only inappropriate clothing kind of places. I mean, if you go to Ireland and you don't bring your rain gear or at least an umbrella, you're just not packing right. There's a reason why the country is so very, very green.
Yeah, we're used to it. Rain is just normal to us. Like yesterday, it was 25 degrees this morning I woke up, when it's pissing rain. You can't bank on the weather, and that's one thing I always say to people if you're going to come to Ireland, is prepare for everything and anything, because you really don't know what the weather is. And if you have the chance, come to Ireland in the off season, because you're not guaranteed the weather in the summer and you're not guaranteed it in winter. So if you can withstand the cold, or the rain, not even the cold, but it's not always cold, but more rain. If you can withstand the rain and you can come in the off season, you're going to save yourself a lot of money as well in comparison to traveling to Ireland from June to August.
Well, and when is your favorite time of the year to be in Ireland? When would you recommend I come, for instance?
It's a tough one. Everyone comes in the summer.
Sure. You've
June, July, August, they're the popular months. My advice would be avoid these months because it's a lot busier, especially because from June until August, the schools are off, okay? So everyone's on their summer holidays. Everyone's mobbing to these spots, especially over the west of Ireland and down south. So trying to book activities and trying to get into places is going to be a lot harder, especially because of COVID this year. And they're restricting how many people can be indoors and doing all sorts. So it's kind of tough. My advice would be, while saving money and trying to get a bit of decent weather and avoiding the crowds, I would say April.
Okay. So shoulder season, April, May, September. Okay.
It's not going to be that busy. And it doesn't get dark until, I would say, we're talking 7 or 8 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
you're starting to come into the summer months, so it stays bright for a little bit longer. So if you want to chance your arm, I would go April. Look, because the summer is just something you want to avoid. It's hard to get into places. It's like anywhere, you know, if you're going to any country, because the summer is the busiest time.
Well, the other thing that we found when we did our road trip in Ireland is when you have a car, you also then have some flexibility in terms of you don't have to stay in the city center where the rates are going to go up in that. And there's some lovely B&Bs, for instance, throughout Ireland. And if you want to meet some of the Irish people and enjoy some of the hospitality, that turned out to be a wonderful way to do that. And so we were sometimes a mile outside of town. So it wasn't inconvenient to get downtown and see things. But on the other hand, we didn't have to fight the crowds and the busy hotels. Yeah, May tends to be a nice time to go too, because you're so close to the June and the longest days of the year, but school is still out. So
Excellent. Now,
how about your favorite day of the year to be in West Ireland? Is there any particular day or festival or holiday that this is the place to be?
Everyone's going to say Patrick's Day. In Dublin, Patrick's Day isn't that great.
I was going to say, I thought Boston was where you want to be on St. Patrick's Day, because I think it's a bigger festival there.
America, Chicago or Boston, they're the places you want to be. Ireland don't do it properly. Look, it's messy. Everyone's pissed out their heads. They're falling all over the place, and it's not enjoyable. And it's there's always trouble and stuff. A good day to go are bank holidays, like a bank holiday Sunday. We have about 8 of them in the year. And if you're coming over, do your research and find out. The only thing is about going away on a bank holiday, it's going to be busy and the prices are probably going to go up. But having said that, like you said, Chris, if you can stay in a B&B a couple of kilometers outside the city centers, you're laughing because you're saving the money.
Right.
If people want to go out on a night or a day and enjoy themselves, they want to be there in the city. But if you have that flexibility of staying in a B&B that's a couple of K away, and you get it for cheaper the price. So it's a win-win, but definitely a bank holiday. Obviously, if there's some sort of big game on, it's always good. If you've Gaelic football matches, rugby matches, football matches, or if there's ever racing, Galway for the Galway races. It was actually there a couple of weeks ago. We actually went the week before, but if the Galway races, that city, my God, now you're going to pay a leg and an arm to try to stay there. But if you're staying a bit away, you can get into Galway for the Galway races.
And Galway races are horse races.
Yeah, horse racing. Sorry, yeah. It's horse racing. It's over a few days.
Excellent. What else should people know before they book their ticket to come to Ireland?
Prices. Now, this depends what type of traveller you are as well. Mm-hmm. I focus on budget travel. I'm not a tight arse by any stretch of the imagination, but I like to save money. There's a common misconception that Ireland is one of the most expensive places in Europe. Well, it is expensive, but it doesn't have to be as expensive as you think it is. Like, there's so many ways you can save money. Just be smart. Don't eat in the hot spots. That's simple. If you're on a road trip, don't be buying your petrol or diesel in the cities. Go a bit outside. Wait until you're on the back roads. Eat these delis that are in the garages. They're great for lunch. You'll save yourself a lot of money if you're getting rolls in there and sandwiches. You can get them for half the price than you're going to buy in a restaurant. There's so many little ways, and I wrote about it on my Irish road trip guide on my website. That's one thing. Obviously, the weather, you need to prepare for the weather, as if we were speaking about before. Another thing to be aware of is the way we drive. We're on the left side of the road. A lot of the world, they normally drive on the right hand side of the road. I don't know. How did you find driving on the left side of the road, Chris?
Well, so I cheated. We went with some friends and we got two different cars, and I was the one who ended up with the automatic transmission, so I didn't have to shift with the other hand. And so that made it a little easier. But and I also flew into Dublin, spent the night locally, and then picked up the rental car when I was more awake, which I found is helpful. For instance, I've done the opposite of fly all the way to South Africa, get off the plane, get into a rental car at 6 a.m. and drive all day on, you know, in a stick shift on the wrong side of the road. And that's a little more challenging. I can do it because I can sleep on planes, but I don't recommend it to other people to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if you don't ask for an automatic in Europe and you don't pay extra for an automatic, you're going to get a standard. You're going to get a stick shift.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And it's going to be in the other hand. So it's a little more challenging. But again, when you're in the motorways, it doesn't matter because you just have to remember when to exit and those sort of things. And that's not that hard at all. When you're in the small two-lane roads, you're usually going pretty slow anyway. So it's not too bad. Car insurance is more expensive there. That is just something to be aware of. Will be more expensive, and if your regular car insurance covers it, it may not cover it in Ireland and Israel and a couple other places. So it's someplace where that's going to cost you a little more. But there's such other advantages of doing this as a road trip. Ireland as a road trip, I think, is a wonderful place to go. I've got a blog post I'll put about driving in the western part of Ireland in the show notes. But fascinating country, beautiful country, and great as a road trip. I think especially here in 2021 when we're recording this, road trips are really kind of what the future is going to be here for a little while.
It's evolved.
Yeah.
It really has. Like the road trip, especially in Ireland, like you've so many people.
Yeah.
Even buying these vans and going on to van life, and it's becoming more and more popular just to go by road. And the best thing is you get to see more of the country. If you're stuck on a bus and you're on a motorway all day, you're not going to get to see that. Or if you're on a train, the train sometimes, I like train travel, don't get
me
wrong.
I do too.
I think you get to see a good part of the countryside of trains. But if you're on a plane and stuff like that, you're not going to get to see it. The best way you can see a country is by road, and you can see what you want, and you will come across things that you have never even seen before or imagined or seen online or anything.
Right.
And especially in Ireland, like especially when you're over the west, right, you're driving, like one minute you're going to be by a coastal road, you'll take a wrong turn, and next thing you're going to be by a waterfall. These things just pop up out of nowhere, and the only way you're going to see these things is by driving in a car.
Excellent. As we move to some of our wrap-up questions, here's a challenging one. You are standing in the prettiest spot in Western Ireland. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I'm going to say on the top of Carntuachtal, looking out at just pure mountains. That's my kind of thing. Okay. I know a lot of people love, don't get me wrong, the Cliffs of Moher are beautiful. But my personal preference is on the top of Carntuachtal. Just these views. It was like, I felt like I was in Switzerland, honestly, when you see these massive mountains and just constant from afar. You're like, this is incredible.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Ireland.
Only in Ireland. The way Irish people are, they make me laugh. And I think you need to, you've been here before, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We're a different breed. That's what I like to say. We're a different breed. We're very careless. Not like careless as we mess things up or anything. We're careless. We haven't got a care in the world. We just get on with it. We love the crack. We love having fun. And it's just, that's only in Ireland, I think.
Well, and just for those who haven't listened to one of our other shows in Ireland and haven't been there yet, when you say you love the crack, we're not talking about the drug. We're talking about the chat. Talking about the banter. Excellent.
Yeah, crack is fun.
Yep.
What's the crack means? What's up? We use it for a lot of things. Or we say he's cracked means he's mad in the head.
Well, and I'm looking at some of my pictures of Ireland while we're talking about this, and you're talking about not having a care in the world. I just had this mental image of standing at the Cliffs of Moher, and if you go to the left-hand side when you come in, you go to the official place with all of the fences and to keep you. You go to the right-hand side, and you have people standing at the edge of the cliff looking down in ways that just scare the bejesus out of me. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. That's the first place I actually went when I went. I went that way instead of the more calm way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do.
Excellent. Well, if you had to describe Western Ireland, the Wild Atlantic Way, in just three words, what three words are you going to choose?
It's absolutely stunning.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Adam Ryan from asadamgoes.com. And Adam, if we're going to send people to your best post on the Wild Atlantic Way, where are we going to send them?
Let's go with The Ultimate Guide for an Irish Road Trip. It was my first blog post. It was probably my most in-depth. I went really into great detail, and you can get lots of good information there. Tips, tricks, how to save money, places to stay, best things to do and see. That's all around Ireland now. I focus a lot on the Wild Atlantic Way.
Excellent. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. And again, as we've talked about recently, links are also found in the lyrics of this episode if you want to check those out. Adam, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Ireland and particularly for Western Ireland.
Chris, thank you very much for having me on, and I appreciate it. I hope everyone is good. Thank you, Chris.
This is the place in the show that I try and make a point to thank the people who help support the show financially, who are the patrons of the show. And this week I'd like to welcome two new patrons, and they are Beth Sojourner and Danielle Murray. Thanks to both of you for supporting Amateur Traveler. If you too would like to be a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler and see what it entails. I heard from Simon this week also about the episode that we did recently on New Hampshire. Said, I hope you don't mind me commenting on so many episodes of your wonderful podcast, but as I've said before, you're constantly triggering great memories of past trips as well as giving ideas for future adventures. My wife and I visited Portsmouth, New Hampshire some years ago, and being history buffs, we found it a fascinating place. On a boat tour of the harbor, we learned, for example, how Humphrey Bogart got his lisp during World War I, I do not know that story, when escorting prisoners to the naval prison in Portsmouth. One tried to escape by hitting Bogart with his handcuffs. We also learned about John Paul Jones, whose home in Portsmouth still exists and is a National Historic Landmark. We never heard of him before, but once back in the UK, we kept reading about him as he took the Wars of Independence over to Britain and made raids on the east and west coasts of England. There's so much colorful history in Portsmouth. We could easily have spent a happy week there. Thanks for reminding us of it. Best wishes, Simon. And I did not remember any connection with Portsmouth and John Paul Jones, so I was interested to hear that from Simon. Also hadn't heard the lisp story. I have visited John Paul Jones' grave, which is at Annapolis, because John Paul Jones was one of the first captains in America's Navy in the Revolutionary War. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.